Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each one of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity a captive itself. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. I kind of like those last, I'm a knitter and I like those last few verses talking about how we grow up into Christ and then we're attached through ligaments, which are really strong and they're kind of hard bonds to break. So I just think about that. Anyway, that's today's word.
Very good. Thanks, Jenny, for reading. Not an easy passage to read, and you did very well. That last bit's a bit of a mouthful, but it's a wonderful text. Yes, Mother's Day. You know, my parents came from Ireland back in 1953, and Irish immigrants. And I remember my parents, my dad started obviously working right away. We were young, my mom didn't. But as soon as I started in grade one, my mom started working. And she worked at Queen Street Simpsons downtown at Queen and Bay. That was where she was. But I remember Tuesdays. Tuesday was always her day off. And so, man, Tuesday was my favorite day of the week. My mom was home on Tuesday. So I was in grade one. I'd walk home from school, and my mom would be there at lunch. I was like the best, man. That was like totally the best. Lots of fond memories of that. So we have gifts. Good gifts from God our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, Mother. God is with us. Mother's Day. We think of the text, you know, in the scriptures, there's a lot of references to God as our mother, feminine images for God. So it's both, you know, God sees him, presents himself in loving ways as an eagle caring for her young. That's a maternal image. And God isn't afraid to present himself that way. So we have just started a series on calling it the Community of the King, a short series that is reflecting on the church, because the church is born after Easter. So we've celebrated Easter, and now we are going forth. We're working to Pentecost, but it's this season after Easter. The church really takes off eventually. Last week we thought of, from chapter 2 of Ephesians, three metaphors for the church as a kingdom, the church as a family, the church as a temple. And we considered how they apply to us, that the church is this wonderful reality, the new people of God that God is building. And today we carry on, jumping ahead to Ephesians 4, thinking of a charismatic community, meaning that each person is gifted, has a gift, a charisma, and which we use and are offered to use for him. But I also want to begin. This past week, Jean Vanier died. We have mentors, and some mentors are living, and other mentors are authors. And for me, I would say Jean Vanier was a mentor. I never met the man, but I've read a lot of his books, and I did so because I was really connected with his writing. I felt supported by that. I found his message very insightful. So in honor of him who's gone to be with the Lord, I want to read something from his book called Church or Community and Growth. We are all called to do not extraordinary things, but very ordinary things with extraordinary love that flows from the heart of God. Love is communion, communion with God and with our brothers and sisters. Love is manifested in all the little things of life that build community, not in heroic acts. So we are all called to do not extraordinary things, but ordinary, but they become extraordinary as we work in love. And that's very much what Paul is going to go to in our text in Ephesians 4. A community that's founded in love. That's what the L'Arche communities were to be. The one north of Toronto where Pastor Bonnie works partly through the week is named Daybreak, is a community for those who have disabilities, and it's a community in love. And we, as a church, are to be that kind of community as well. And so we reflect on that as well today. So it's, first of all, shaped by love. And we're moving more towards the verses at the end of our passage, but we frame it in the beginning, shaped by love. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then there are a variety of characteristics. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here at Weston Park or any other church in the city of Toronto, we are to be shaped by love. That's what Paul is saying. And we begin with a calling. We all have a primary calling. And our primary calling, as far as Paul is concerned, is that we know the Lord, we love the Lord, and we say yes to him and enter into his kingdom. We become his children. That is what your life and my life is about, that we will say yes to him. Everything else is secondary. So we spend a lot of time thinking about many other things, often much about our career, right? Schooling is going after the kids in terms of what do you want to do, what do you want to be, make these choices. There's a lot of direction that way. But in terms of what the scriptures are saying, the main thing for us is to say yes to God. Yes to him. Yes to Jesus. He is the one that we follow. And so our ultimate vocation is really to follow Jesus. That's where Paul goes. Recognize your vocation. Vocation is calling. Recognize his call. Say yes to him. That's the beginning point. Live worthy of your calling. So the calling is a calling that's shaped by love, and we see these characteristics. These are the ones that are noted: humility, gentleness, patience, relating together in love. It's been recognized by scholars that the word humility, that virtue, that was not a virtue in the Roman world. They didn't talk about humility. They saw humility actually as kind of a negative thing, being timid and not sure of yourself. They're not saying, be humble. Jesus presents himself, what, as the humble king. And Paul says that that humility is to shape our whole community, and gentleness. And patience is related to the word for suffering. Patience is willing to suffer and suffer with, relating together in love with people that we don't always agree with. We are called to love, make every effort, so we know if we're doing that or not. And thirdly, it's a commitment to unity. You note in verses 4 to 6, the emphasis six times, one, we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. And so the church is to strive for unity. We are to strive for love, and we are to strive for unity. That this is really a key characteristic for the community. And so, if we're always dividing, if we're always seeing how we are not related to one another, how I'm different from you, or how, you know, somebody's right or somebody's wrong, if that's how we're always measuring, we're actually missing something. Because what we're called to recognize is that we are united in Jesus. That's very important. We can be, you know, we can have variations on theology, variations on different positions. But are we united together in love, and are we really seeing that as a value? And oftentimes the church is not known for love. Oftentimes the church is not known for unity. The Baptist world is divided in many, many, many denominations, Baptists. Baptists love to divide. We've done that forever. We are protesters. And so we protest and we divide. Sometimes we lack the commitment to unity. So Paul is saying you have a vocation. Live in love and have a commitment to travel together. It's not an individual walk. We walk and journey together. That's what Paul is saying. To a point that we want to emphasize, shaped by charismatic diversity. And what is that about? But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So each of us, Paul is saying, was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Emphasis on all of us, verse 13. Verse 16, each one using their gift, being involved in ministry and serving. So each of us are gifted. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he gifts each one. That's the vision that Paul has. And so his big image that he likes is that of a body. And the whole body works together, every part serving and ministering, just like our body works together. We were setting up this morning, and you know, thanks to Don, our communion table now has wheels, and it's a little easier to shift, and I'm shifting it. And I get a sliver. I'm thinking, ouch, that really hurts. So I got my sliver. Lucky it was in my right hand, so I got the sliver. Just a little goofy thing, right? And all of a sudden, all I can think about for about 5 minutes is my finger hurts. I got the sliver in my finger. Now, what am I going to do? I'm looking around for a pin backstage, you know, back in the offices. Can I get this? Decide eventually I'll just have to wait till I go home. But the whole body works together. Fingers, organs, important ones, less important ones. Little finger gets a sliver. The rest of the body knows. Paul likes that image. So each of us are gifted. The gifts are mentioned. We've said before there are various gifts. So let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 6, because it notes a variety of other gifts. Because they're not just these ones that we have here. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. All these are gifts. And then if you can read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, another whole group of gifts are noted. And the point is, the lists are not exhaustive, and there are many gifts beyond that. But we are gifted. We are to use them for God's kingdom. And in Corinthians, Paul says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we can ask ourselves, how are we gifted? And what's the purpose? Important verse in verse 12. We have these gifts, and pastors and teachers are to equip, but notice the work of ministry is by everybody in Ephesians. Just notice that in verse 12, an important statement. Pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the work of ministry is by all of us. The work of ministry is for everyone. Teachers, pastors, other leaders, the goal is to equip, and then each of us use these gifts for God's kingdom and God's purpose. That's how the whole thing works. We're meant to be little Christs, no spectators, only participants. That's the great goal for the church. But in our society, of course, it's very easy to become spectators, isn't it? We can come in the church, we sit in the pew, we're all looking to the front, and very quickly can become, we're just watching other people do things, and I go into spectator mode. But the church is not meant to function that way. The church is meant to function where we all participate, all use our gifts in different ways. So, for example, this morning down at West Park Hospital, a whole bunch of our people were down there serving, having another service for all the people who have got some real challenges in life, and they rally together and get rolled down to in their chairs and in their beds, and they have a service. Dave Saunders has been leading that for years. That's a beautiful blessing, and different people are using their gifts that way. So we have a few. Who was down there this morning? I know Ron was down there. Anybody else? Was anybody there or not? Or they've all gone home after one? Well, they were down there. So maybe Dave and Ron had a very busy morning. Some of our folks who normally go are away in Jamaica at this moment. But the point is we all have gifts, and we're all meant to use them. And when we do that, the church becomes effective. It needs all these gifts for us to be healthy. If we all just go into spectator mode, the health of the body will not be that great. So we need to consider, how am I gifted, and how can I use those gifts for God's work in His world, within the church and beyond the church? Because that's our ultimate vocation, not just to come in and watch. So it's one of the challenges as churches get bigger and bigger and churches become more like theaters and the lights go down. You know, it's easy to just come in and slip in and watch. Now, you can see why churches do that. We had a drama here just last Friday night, and to do the drama, they had to cover all the windows. So all the windows, that's a lot of work. They were all covered over in dark paper so that the light would not come through all the way down. People came in. You sat down and you watched a drama. It worked quite effectively. But if the church body becomes that, where we're just watching, then we're missing part of the reality of who we are. So every gift is required. Every gift is to be used. That's how the scriptures present it. And in terms of our world, in the Baptist world, and you think of the Protestant Reformation, that was a big piece, the priesthood of all believers, everybody using their gifts for God's kingdom. Paul carries on. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together, here's the body language, by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. In the Greek language, what happens at the end is the most important. What happens in the end is emphasized. So the NRSV gets it right here. The last word in this passage is love. The last word is agape. It all works together in love. The whole community, we all engage in love. That's how the Greek text works. That's how it works right here. If we miss the love, we miss the whole thing. We can be organized, we can have a great institution going, but if we do not have love, we miss it. So it's a goal, it's a community shaped by love, it's a community shaped by diversity, it's a community shaped by connectivity. The goal is maturity. Verses 14 and verse 13. Two senses to that, that we are to mature, we are to grow. We are like fruit that is supposed to become ripe. You pick it and you eat it and it tastes good, right? That's what the fruit is, mature fruit. So we are called to become spiritually mature, to not live as babies, to grow up in our faith. That's what Paul is envisioning for everybody. So we do that as we work out our salvation in fear. Fear and trembling, Paul says. But it's also interesting, and we look at verse 13, because we lose this in some of our texts. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity. To that word there. So that's the first point. We grow in spiritual maturity as we look to Jesus. It's interesting, the word there, to maturity, is actually the perfect man. That's what the text says. You go to the perfect man. The writers, the translators, decide that's about maturity and put in the word maturity. I think the KJV has it right, to the perfect man. And it is the word man. It's not anthropos, it's man. To the perfect man. What's the picture? The picture is Jesus comes to us. Ultimately, he comes to us, and we come to him. And when we see the perfect man, Jesus, we become perfect. That's a beautiful image. Ultimately, we become perfect because we see and meet the perfect man. That whole piece is missed when we translate the word simply as maturity. We grow into maturity, but we also become perfect when we see Jesus. So Jean Vanier just died this week. Jean Vanier, I think, was 90 years old. He was a great man. I would say he was a saint, but he was not perfect. But when he meets Jesus, he becomes perfect. All the scales fall away, and we become perfect. When we meet Jesus, we become like him, the text says. We become like him. Imagine that. One day we will all be perfect, not because of us, but because of Jesus. We will see him and we will become perfect. What would our world be like if everyone in living, 7.5 billion people, and everybody is perfect? Wow. That would be amazing. No more wars, no more crime, no more pieces of plastic all through the ocean killing our marine life. None of that stuff. Perfection. And that's what our future is in Jesus. We grow into him, not becoming perfect here and now, but one day we will be like him. And Paul is so excited about that. He says, I've seen through a mirror, and I have seen such amazing things, and I can't even talk about them. I'm not allowed to talk about them. I've been taken up, to the third heaven, he says. I've been taken up there. What I've seen is amazing. And so this piece that sounds so technical, and is technical, and looks to body parts, is ultimately calling us in a message of hope that we will become like Jesus. But we start that process even now as we rally together, as we work together, with each other, with all of us who have our own issues, right? We all have our own issues. We may not like the church, so we go start another church. Okay, we go start another church. What happens? We bring all our issues to that church. And then the church becomes messed up, just like the original church is messed up, because it's made up of people who have problems, us. We work it out together, being the body of Christ. So the goal is maturity, but there's these two senses to it, two aspects. Christ is the head, or Christ is the source. Head, not just in hierarchy, a source of a river. Do you see what I mean? It makes actually more sense. Christ is the source of our life. He's the one who gives us life through the Holy Spirit. He is the one we rely on. We sang about that in our hymns. And we're held together in Jesus. So we have that body image again in verse 16. This is how it's supposed to work out for us. From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. A good friend of Paul, and maybe the one who actually did a lot of his writing down, was Luke. And Luke was a physician. And maybe Paul and Luke here are having a good old talk. And they're saying, how can we present this in a way that will be instructive to the church? Maybe Luke is the one who decides, you know what, let's use a body image. And we'll talk about it this way. It's not just like Paul is getting stream of consciousness from, you know, heaven. I mean, he's working this out. And they write this way. There's a show that just finished in Halifax called, essentially, Body Works. And it's at the Natural History of Museum, and Natural Museum of History, and it has cadavers. So you can see the cadaver. So the skin is gone. You're looking at the body parts. But they are real humans, real body parts. There was a similar show at the Science Center maybe about 10 years ago here in Toronto, and I went to it. And it is amazing when you see the body and how sophisticated and complex it is. That's it. And if you look at all the leg structure and all the ligaments and all that's going on, that's how we are to work. And we're called to do it in love, Paul says. So we ask ourselves, how do we function? See, we're not supposed to be like that sliver, you know what I mean? Sliver isn't supposed to be there. I'm going to have to get that out later. We are to be contributing in a way. I mentioned that. Let's go to the end. Going forward, what does it mean? 4 points. We are to be an enlivened community, not a boring, monotonous community. The church is not to be a boring, monotonous place. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking this is really boring and this is monotonous, then okay, Davey's got to do something different. Something's got to happen because we're not supposed to be boring and monotonous, all right? We are a diverse people using their gifts. That's what we are about. That's how Paul envisions and Jesus envisions this new society, the third race, neither Jew nor Gentile, together, brothers and sisters in the faith, an enlivened community. Secondly, we are to be a growing community. We're not to be static. We've been in this community for how many years now? 100, 110, 11, 112? 111. Arlene knows. 111 years we've been here. It'd be easy to just become static. But we are called to be a deepening community, going deeper. That's where the maturity picture ends up. Growing. Reaching out to new people. How do we reach out to new people? Everybody has their work in ministry. That's it. You have your job, I have my job. If we're going to be a growing community, we need to be bringing people. It's not up to one person, 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people. We are invited to be a growing community. We all have a responsibility because we're part of the body of Christ. If you never bring anybody ever here, well, it's a little hard for the community to grow. Because that's the first line. How do we engage people? We have a responsibility. It's just the way it is. Thirdly, we are to be an enthusiastic community. Enthusiastic means to be full of God. That's what the word means. Enthusiasm, the theos, is God. Not complacent, but every member ministry. Every member. Each person recognizing their gifts. When we do that, it's a pretty cool situation. And then finally, a Christ-filled community. Meaning we have to keep Jesus as our head. He is our head. He is our source. We always go back to him, and we do that in love. Jesus is love. So if we are full of him, we will be full of love. So enlivened, just repeat them. Enlivened community. That's the body of Christ image. A growing community. Enthusiastic community. Community with Jesus as our focus. So that's what we're called to do. A wonderful writer and commentator is a chap named Marcus Barth. And Marcus writes this, "The task of the whole church and of every saint," means all of us, "is to carry out a work of service for the praise of God and the benefit of all who need it. There are needy people inside the church, and there are even more people in want outside the church. The church can find life only by losing her life in the service entrusted to her." That's what Barth writes. There are needy people here. There are tons of needy people outside. We are called to become the face of Jesus to all of these people. It's not about you and I just living comfortable lives, convenient lives. It's not about that. It's about us serving the Lord. The Lord comes, right? Jesus comes. What does he do? He starts a community. He starts a group of disciples. Has 12 community, 12 in the group. One of them doesn't make it. Okay, he's out. Another one comes in. He's got 12. After 3 whole years, he's got 12. That's his group. That's what he does. And then he equips them so that they will go out and do their work. And what happens from the 12? The church grows from all around the world. The church is everywhere. This group doing their thing. So as we embrace the vision of the community of God, good things happen. It just naturally happens. Because we become ministers of love, working out our commitment to Christ with people we talk to. You do it in your sphere of influence. I do it in my sphere of influence. That's what we're invited to do. So it's a beautiful picture. So may we then be that body. That's where we're going after. May we be the body of Christ. May we be a charismatic community in the sense that each of us is gifted. Each of us has a way to express that gift of the Holy Spirit. May we be a charismatic community. And that also, by the way, can be meaning enthusiasm in our worship. There's nothing wrong with that. Praising God, enthusiastic. It wouldn't hurt us to be a little more charismatic. I speak as one growing up in the Pentecostal church. It wouldn't hurt. All right. Let's sing some songs. We'll sing 2 songs. First one is Savior King, which talks about the Church of Christ. And we'll stand as we gather. So we'll stand together. The first verse. "Let now the weak say, I have strength by the Spirit of power that raised Christ from the dead. Let now the poor stand and confess that my portion is him and I'm more than blessed. Let now our hearts burn with a flame, a fire consuming for all your Son's holy name." Remember where that image comes from, the 2 disciples that walked with Jesus after the resurrection on the road to Emmaus. And they say later, did not our hearts burn with fire when Jesus was speaking to us? That's where that image is. Goes on to speak about the church. "Let now the weak say, I have strength."
Strength by the Spirit. raised Christ from the dead. Let now the poor stand and confess that my portion is Him and then more than that. Let now a husband with a flame of fire consume me all for your sons, holy name, and with the heavens we
you. You are our God. You alone are good. That's an exciting reality, I think, when we really embrace it. I pray that we will. We're going to end by singing about this amazing grace, this amazing love. We go out in that reality. This is amazing grace.
Shakes the whole